Catching up with Colter Lubin out of the DNR office in Escanaba. How you doing, bud?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'll be doing a lot better here in about 3-4 hours when I'm thinking about hair camp and not about work.
Are you going to a snowshoe hair hunting camp this weekend?
Yep. We're meeting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, Saturday morning.
Nice, nice. Okay. Well, I know the snowshoe hair numbers are great this year. I mean, I kind of saw that for myself in my time in the woods this fall, bird hunting a little bit. I wonder if you heard that going into this season and if it's kind of come to fruition for you as well.
Yeah, I kind of knew, you know, obviously I'm out in the woods a lot, but I mean, the people that are really out in that kind of cover where you do find hair are your bird hunters. And I myself, I'm not a grouse or woodcock hunter, so I'm not really in that, you know, real thick stuff, except maybe when I'm scouting for deer. And then they kept telling me, like, holy cow, we're kicking up a lot of hair this year. So, of course, I was excited going into the time where, you know, they start turning white or there's snow on the ground and they're still brown. And a lot of those, you know, guys and girls that were out there were right, especially in those good habitat locations like those jack pine and red pine plantations and mixed aspen stands with spruce and balsam. So the numbers seem to be awesome, and we're having a blast.
So let's talk a little bit about conditions out there, because we had some tough, tough, deep snow conditions where beagles were just swimming through this stuff and having a hard time. But with that meltdown, and now everything's crispified, it looks like they're staying on top of the snow. That makes a big difference, huh?
Yeah, it does, you know, and a lot of us that, you know, run GPS collars, and most people do now, you know, you get to see your dog's speed, which is cool. It's interesting, you know, and this isn't going to mean much to most people, but during that first part of the winter when you're talking about that deep snow with no base, and they were at like 2.12 miles per hour, which is just very, very slow. And now they're up there, you know, around, you know, 4 to 5.2, and that's hunting in the same exact area. And it just tells you what's changed in conditions. They can stay on top, and because of that, it makes for a little faster hunt. And the other thing that those conditions do, if there's deep snow or very little snow or snow like we have now with a crust or a hard pack on top, is, you know, if they're barking, they're driving rabbits. But it's those in-between bark times when they're out there searching at them, trying to get one moving, that when you're in those really deep snow, those dogs can just not cover a lot of ground just trying to get the next one kicked up. And we as hunters can't cover as much ground because we're trying to pull through that too. So it's just good now. It gets them moving a lot more and get to see a lot more strays and just a lot more miles put on in a day, and just makes it more fun.
Let's talk about the conditions and how hard it is on the dog's paws, though. I mean, I'm assuming that they're able to stay on top of the snow right now and really keep moving, but crusty snow tears up dog pads. There's no way around it. I have the same issue with Brody.
Yeah, we were running, was it last Friday, and I got a call about going hair hunting, and it was just that, Adam. It was like, I got out there, and I'm like, oh, boy, I know what today's going to be. And I think we had 3 or 4 dogs on the ground on Friday, and every single one of them was bleeding from their feet up by their ankles. And then also, I mean, that was a little weird, but my young dog, he had a little genital blood going on just from the ice on top. He was sharp. It was real sharp ice.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times you shoot at a hair, you go look and see if it's wounded and then die. It was hard to tell if those dogs cut up to that hair what was bleeding, because there was a lot of blood on the snow.
So what do you do about it?
Yeah, I mean, you try to do your best. You try to condition them up with, you know, there's a lot of different brands out there, of course, that you can buy. We were talking about that brand that me and you like to use. What was that, Dr.
Yeah, I'll say it right now. I mean, I'm not saying, like, any of the other brands are bad. I use Musher's Secret as well, but nothing seems to work as far as conditioning and healing a dog's pads for my lab like Dr. Tim's Pad Protector.
Yeah, and I have that stuff, too, and then I have pad heal stuff, and I got, you know, probably like you, in my bag there, I got all sorts of stuff, different brands. I don't even know what I'm putting on sometimes. But you try to do that, but at the end of the day, and you know, it's, they love doing it. There is going to be some sort of discomfort. It's kind of like if me and you were to go out jogging together. Maybe you're more in shape than I am, but
nope.
If we go sit down and have a beer after, I'm sure we're going to be in pain. Some pain.
I guarantee you, you're in better shape than I am overall, just because of your age, number one. But I can get it done.
We
don't get me wrong.
We both have some sort of pain. You know, that exercise, we were running, you know, the other day my dogs put on 16 miles, granted that was downstate with very little snow, but after 16 miles of running through briars and, you know, through the woods, those dogs are going to have some sort of pain, and some of it is visible to us, and you do all you can to keep them in the best shape possible, but at the same time, you understand when you got these, what I consider working dogs, although mine sleep with me, but they're still working dogs, there's some sort of, you know, stuff like that that's just going to happen in those conditions.
All right. Well, I appreciate all the info, Coulter, and I'd like to continue talking a little bit with you and talk about how you get around out there and how you use your GPS tracking to kind of sort of look at the situation. And maybe we could educate some more snowshoe hare hunters a little more if we can continue with you later this hour.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, Adam.
We'll get into some trapping as well, so stay tuned. Coulter Lubin from the DNR out of Esky. We'll continue this conversation right here on The Outdoor Show.